Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever.
Welcome back to the V Foundation for Cancer Researchers Voices for Victory podcast. I'm your host, Mick McDonald. Thanks so much for joining us again. For those of you who are new, each episode we'll chat with people who've been touched by cancer. In Jim's famous ESPY speech, he said there are three things in life that are most important to him: where you started, where you are, and where you're going to be. We want to hear from different voices about why it's so important that we achieve victory over cancer. Today, our guest is Mark Silverman. Mark is a co-host of Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Radio's WMVP 1000 AM in Chicago. For years, Mark was a supporter of the V Foundation, raising money and awareness through his show each year around the ESPYs. It became even more personal for him earlier this year when he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, for which he's currently undergoing treatment. Today, Mark and I chat about the emotions of his diagnosis, why he decided to make his cancer journey public, and how being a cancer patient during the COVID-19 pandemic adds an additional layer of stress. And now, our conversation with Mark Silverman.
And I always have to think about what's important in life is to think to me of three things: where you started, where you are, and where you're going to be. Those are the three things that I try and do every day.
And we're now joined on the Voices for Victory podcast by Mark Silverman. Mark, thanks so much for taking some time to chat with us today.
It's my pleasure. Love what you guys do, and it's an honor to be on.
So, Mark, I want to start, first of all, by just kind of asking how things are going. You're currently undergoing treatment. How is everything going? How are you feeling? How are you doing?
I feel pretty good. So far, I have had three sessions of chemo, three rounds of chemo. I'm on R-CHOP, so I take it in 21-day cycles. Every 21 days, I get another treatment. I'm also doing an immunotherapy with that. So I've had four rounds of that. Now they've layered that into my chemo as well. I'm about a week removed from my third. Coming up here in about a week, I have a big scan to see the progress. I've been able to feel good. I have a full appetite. I've been able to work out and continue to move. I continue to work. And, I've just been reaching out to many different people who've gone through this process to put my body at the most advantages to sort of tackle this and go on with this journey. It's certainly been a learning experience for me.
And I wonder, too, for people who have, maybe misconceptions about, because obviously every treatment is different for every different kind of cancer. And correct me, you have non-Hodgkin lymphoma, is that right?
Right. So, and then like for the people who aren't, like, this is all stuff, it's deep in the weeds. But what I didn't know, you thought, okay, there's Hodgkin's lymphoma, then there's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. But there are like so many different subsets of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Right.
And my subset is the diffuse large B-cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is the most common and it's the most treatable / curable. So I was very happy, very grateful when I got that diagnosis.
So you mentioned the diagnosis, just kind of circling back to when you kind of first found out that this is what you had. Can you kind of walk us through when you first maybe realized something was going on and then how that led to the diagnosis?
Yeah. And it was a crazy story because I was a little tired, but I'm 48 and I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old and I have a high stress job and it's winter in Chicago. So you're not able to get out as much as you can. So, I'm like tired, but I feel like I'm okay. And I felt healthy. And throughout like my life, I've gotten every now and then like one of these little fatty tumors that you get on your body that the doctors dismiss and they say that's just, part, and they're non-cancerous. It's no big deal. It's just part of your body, part of your anatomy. So I want to say like in January or February, maybe a little after the Super Bowl, I noticed that the one in my neck was starting to get more pronounced. And I wrote it off. Okay, well, I have a fatty tumor now in my neck because I had been to my doctor in November. I go for yearly physicals. I work out all the time. I eat well. So I'd just been in the doctor doing a full panel of blood work. So sort of just said, okay, well, keep that in the back of your mind. And then a few weeks later, I noticed I started getting swelling in my right groin area, sort of near the hip flexor muscle. And like I told you, I'm very active. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I did something to my hip flexor. And I pointed that out to my chiro, and he goes, no, that's your lymph node. You're probably filtering out some illness. Keep your eye on that. Well, I kept my eye on it, and it instead of getting smaller, it got bigger, and so did the one in my neck. So in early March now it was just at the start of COVID. And like, I didn't know if you could even get to a doctor at this point. I'm like, I better email my doctor and go in and just get this checked out. So I went to my internist, and he did a full evaluation. He goes, I want you to do a full panel. We're going to check you for everything where your lymph nodes could be swollen. And the full panel of blood work came back, and it was all normal. It was all good. So I'm set to do a party. I'm like,
right. Yeah.
I've been Googling. And I've read the stuff about lymphoma. I've read things. He goes, listen, just to confirm that you're okay, I want to send you to a head and neck specialist. I want them to do a biopsy. And it was a Friday. It was before I was going into the radio studio to do my show. And again, this is the start of COVID where you can't bring your wife, you can't bring anybody. And I'm thinking I'm going there just to get basically a confirmation that I'm okay. And it wasn't until that moment when I'm laying in that chair on this Friday in Evanston, Illinois, and she's, looking at this in an ultrasound before we do the biopsy, really looking at it, saying how big it is and sort of surprised by that. And then they start taking fluid out of it. And I realized I wasn't really there so much for confirmation that this was most likely going in the direction that I didn't want this to go. So the biopsy happened on a Friday. My doctors got me in on a Sunday to do a CT scan. And that's still before the biopsy results came back. And my doctor was nice enough to look at the results on that Sunday. And all indications from the CT scan at that point pointed towards lymphoma. But again, she said, while that's going towards lymphoma, we need the confirmation from this biopsy result that you took on Friday. So on that Monday, I got the phone call confirming that it was indeed lymphoma. And then we needed to get the exact diagnosis of what kind of lymphoma. And that's when they needed to take out the actual lymph node in my groin to find out and diagnose exactly what I had.
So that first moment when they get the biopsy back and they say, this is what we had feared. What's the first things that are running through your head? What are the emotions that you go through when you hear that?
I have a 6 and a 4-year-old. And are they going to be, am I going to be around to continue to raise them? I take great pride in a lot of the things that I've been able to accomplish along the way. But there's been nothing greater than being a dad. And all the success I've had in my hometown, getting to be a sports talk show host, being number one in the ratings, covering the teams that I love, getting to know some of the famous people I grew up rooting for. There's nothing greater than being a dad. And I got to be a dad later in life, and my kids are everything. And it flashes in front of you where you hear cancer, you hear non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and you still don't know, and you're saying, are they going to have a dad? How am I going to be there for them? Am I going to be healthy enough to be cheering for them on the little league field? And am I even going to be around? Is this a death sentence? What is this? So like that first Sunday when the CT scan came back, even though I still didn't get the biopsy, I basically knew in my mind that I had something, and something that wasn't good. And, I just kind of for that first day or two just cried in my wife's arms. That's all I thought about is like, I'm 48 years old. I feel like 48 is being young, and there's so much left to accomplish. There's so much left to experience. And those are the emotions that just tore, not went through me. They tore through your body. You feel it through your body wondering if all this stuff that you've dreamt about being a dad, is it going to be ripped away from you?
And you mentioned to me, Mark, when we were chatting before we went on here, that you've decided so far anyways, not to kind of explain to your kids what's going on. They're obviously still very young. What was that thought process like? How did you kind of determine that? Because you've been very open about your everything you've gone through on your show and publicly. How did you and your wife kind of balance that and decide, hey, this is how we want to talk to them about this or not talk to them about this?
Yeah, and I think it's a very complex decision. And I don't know if we're doing it the, quote, right way, if there is a right way, if there is a wrong way. What we felt for our 6 and our 4-year-old and what they know and what we're going through currently right now, because of what I've been able to do during treatment and since I've been diagnosed, I've been able to work out. I've been having a full appetite. I have not been bedridden. I've been able to swim with them. I've been able to be a dad exactly the way I've always been a dad. So our feeling was, why explain something that may not need to be explained right now? Daddy isn't in bed. Daddy doesn't look sick. Now, I don't have hair right now, but we sort of played a game with that, with the summer coming. And, you know, my 6-year-old lost his first tooth, and then he quickly lost his second tooth. And I'm like, hey, you're losing your teeth. My hair is so out of control, and because of the virus, we haven't been able to get a haircut. So do you want to shave Daddy's hair? Daddy's sick of his hair. So we sort of made it a game that way where, you know, it's not a stigma and it's not a sign of sickness that I'm bald. It is what it is. So I feel like it just would have opened a whole new can of worms, all new explanations. And why go through that if everything currently is going pretty well?
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense, I think. And the way you explained it is, you know, who knows what the right answers are, but you're doing what you feel comfortable with. And that's usually the right answer, right? You know,
yeah. And Mick, think about this, that we're in a time right now that when everything changed for me, everything changed for the world. What yeah. we're going through as a world, I mean, my 6-year-old is in kindergarten. That's the first year you go to school full day, at least where we live. And that's a huge transition year. And then in March, that's taken away. And now he's e-learning. And now he can't see his friends. And now he can't go ice skating. And now he can't go swimming. And he can't go to baseball class. And so many things have been taken away. It's a huge psychological factor for the kids dealing with COVID to begin with. So why add the layer of, hey, your daddy is sick, when I feel like I've got a lot on my side after researching and after finding out a lot of the things that I do have in my corner? I don't want to have my son, and my 4-year-old is still too young to even comprehend all of this. Why put another layer of stress in such a young kid's mind to begin with?
For sure. And you mentioned that the world kind of changed for everyone when your world personally changed with everything going on with the COVID-19 pandemic. I wonder too, you know, specifically cancer patients and people going through similar things to what you're going through, that's, you know, this has now added another layer of stress or something more to worry about. How has that been, you know, kind of on top of everything you have going on now, having to deal with this pandemic as well?
Yeah, it's something that I like to stress in any conversation I have, either on my radio show or article that's written about me, because you were scared during COVID to go to a doctor because, hey, this is only for people who are extremely ill. If you can manage your symptoms, stay at home. So I've got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma now. Do we have all of our healthcare providers on the front line of COVID? And are they going to be there for me? It's the first thing that you think about. And you don't know. And the thing that I love to stress, and the thing that, like, I've never, ever, ever appreciated people more who work in hospitals, in doctor's offices, to go through what I've gone through physically and especially mentally, that I could assure people that these people are here for you, that these people have figured it out, that these people have improvised with how to deal with this coronavirus yet treat people with cancer, how to get waiting rooms set up right, how to get the infusion centers set up in the right way. I have not met nicer people than I've dealt with in a cancer center, from the receptionists to the nurses to the infusion people to my doctors who are available to me 24/7. I mean, it makes me emotional. I don't get emotional about my future, but when I think about all these people who are working and are already, you know, having to put themselves on the front lines because there's this pandemic going on, that they're here to treat me and they're here to treat other people who are going through the same thing that I'm going through. It's an incredible thing that we have going on, and I am so, so grateful for all of it.
Yeah, if there's one silver lining through all of this, it's hopefully that we are shining a spotlight on our healthcare workers who maybe don't get enough credit day to day. So I think if there's one positive from this, it's going to be that. So, Mark, you've been, you know, very open about your, you know, your life really in kind of looking through your past with the radio station. You've always kind of been an open book with your show. Was it ever even a decision that you were going to talk about this publicly, or was it something that, you know, you knew kind of once you got your hands around it, that, hey, this is something I'm going to share with my listeners and share with my fans?
I'm a pretty open book, and I did have to think about it because I did not want to share it in real time. I wanted information. So I delayed. I went through a lot in the first month, and a lot of coworkers didn't even know what I was going through. Very few, until I really had a handle on what I was dealing with. And I, you know, just like anything, you don't like to talk about a topic that you don't have a great knowledge in. So I wanted to become an expert in what I was dealing with. But yes, I was eventually going to share it with everybody. And the thing that I've had the advantage on, and it's why the V Foundation and everything, what the V Foundation has done, is because we've tried to be an open book whenever we've raised money for the V Foundation. We've talked about the V Foundation for many years on our show when we've raised money. We've had courageous listeners just call in on their commute who would hear us raising money for the V Foundation in the middle of July and share their stories about what their mom is going through, what their brother is going through, what they're going through, what someone who may have lost their battle has gone through. And they would break down on the air, and they would be so open, and it would never be lost on me. How could this person who doesn't really know me and doesn't know our listening audience share all of this personal information with everyone? And look how much of an impact that makes to raise money and to tell people how much more work we still have to do. So I've been shown the way by other courageous people who have shared their story. Craig Sager, Stuart Scott, Jimmy V, you know, Chris Mortensen, on and on. All the people in our company and away, Merrill Hodge, who aren't scared and don't look at it as a stigma and know that this is something that we need to continue to fight and we need to continue to make everyone aware about, because, you know, it's the biggest cliche in the world. I've heard it for years, that cancer will affect someone you know, one out of every three people. Now I look in the mirror and I see myself every day and it affects me. And I want that to, when we go years down the road, to get the cure and to have people who have to deal with this later than me in the future have it easier than I had it, because I'm having it easier today than other people had it. So that was never lost on me, that we have to be honest. We have to be open. We have to tell the story, and we have to give the credit to everyone who has made it what it is at this point with all the advancements in science and research.
And you've, you know, like you mentioned, throughout the years, you and your show and your station have been very supportive of the V Foundation and raising money each year. I'm sure hearing those stories, you know, kind of helps others propel to want to donate and want to give and want to help. And you're pushing that forward now. So you've got the Sylvie Strong t-shirts that you're pushing out to help support the V Foundation. Can you kind of tell me a little bit about how that idea came together and why you wanted to move that forward?
Yeah. You know, and it's very humbling. And it's and like, the, even though I share my stories, I don't like to be the center of attention, or I don't, you know, I got into this, you get into journalism because you like to tell people's stories, not your own. You're never supposed to be like the center of it. But Mick, to tell you the truth, when I came out and I told it, I teased that I was going to share news when I first came out, and I never imagined the response that I was going to get. And I and like people say, well, what were you expecting? You've been on ESPN 1000 for 21 years. You've been on an afternoon drive for 7 years. You and Waddle have done the show together for 13 years. You have a following. I don't know what I expected. I expected maybe a few tweets, a few people to understand and to wish me well, but it was humbling. It was over the top. It was like a warm hug from numerous people. And because of that, my son made a drawing of Sylvia Strong, my six-year-old, who I've talked about. I put that up on my Twitter avatar, and people loved the design. And people who I know in the business said, you should make a shirt out of that. And the owner of Obvious Shirts, Joe Johnson, huge shirt designer, especially with a huge Cubs following in the Chicago area, came to me and said, Sylvia, we want to do something for you. We want to make you a shirt, and we want you to get the money from it to pay your bills. And I'm like, look, I'm good. This isn't for me. I could never, ever, ever accept money. If we were to ever do this, there's one place that I know that will help. And the one thing that I've been educated on is that every cent that the V Foundation has raised goes to cancer research. And there are many different charities that I've supported along the way. But the thing about the V Foundation that has always stood out for me is that we're going to continue to learn. We're going to continue to research. We're going to continue to advance. So I knew where the if we were to do something. So I went to my bosses at the radio station. I said, this isn't about me. This is about something bigger. Can we go to the V Foundation? Are they cool with this? And we dotted all our I's, crossed all of our T's, and people were interested in this. And so far, we've raised well over $30,000 from Amazing. Something that was a bad situation into something good. And, you know, I have a platform, and I owe it. I owe it to the people who came before me. Without those people raising money, I wouldn't be on a clinical trial. So we have got to help. We've got to move this forward. And I want to continue to do this. And not only with the V Foundation, the other part that I have found very helpful, there's a charity called Immerman's Angels here based in Chicago, where they pair you up with someone who had exactly what you've been diagnosed with. And I want to be there to help people in the future who are diagnosed with what I had, and to give them the tips and to get their body and their mind, most importantly, to fight and to go on the journey that I've been currently on. So, you know, it's been a great thing. I think overall awareness, it's something that, of course, I never would have signed up for. But what we learn in sports and what I've learned in my life is you're dealt a hand and it's time to play the hand.
Well, Mark, we're so thankful of all you've done to support the V Foundation through the years, and then everything you're doing now to support us is just incredible. And we're very grateful for everything you've done to raise money and help us as well. So before we let you go, just, you know, how can people get a Sylvia Strong shirt? And then how can people, if they're outside of Chicago, how can people listen to the show?
Yeah. So the shirts are located at obviousshirts.com, obviousshirts.com. And it's right there at the front. And as I mentioned, my son did a drawing. There are two different designs. My son's drawing, caricature of me, that says Sylvia Strong. And then there's one, a professionally done one, that says Sylvie Strong. And they make it in youth sizes. They make them in men's, women's, any type of different cut that you want. Obvious Shirts will do that. And again, every cent, every proceed that they get, they go to the V Foundation. And as we know, every cent that the V Foundation gets goes to cancer research. So obviousshirts.com. And there's so many ways to listen to us. We're on 2 to 6 locally in Chicago. That's Central Time. We have an easy app to download. It's the ESPN Chicago app. In Chicago, it's AM1000. You could follow me on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie. My Instagram account, which is more personal, is Mark, M-A-R-C, the middle initial A, last name Silverman. And I post my stories there all the time about going in for my treatments and posing in front of the cancer center after each one of my chemos. And I'm going to share. I'm not going to hide because, you know, this is important that, you know, this is something that we should, when we are faced with this, that we all should be strong. And it's easier said than done. But I think when you fight, the one thing that has not been lost, I mean, people who are survivors have always said to me that you have an army behind you. And you never understand that phrase. You know, you have a village behind you. You have an army behind you. And I've learned that to be the case. And I want to be somebody in that army for people going forward. So if you ever need help, if you ever need a word, just DM me, and hopefully we can go on this journey together, and we will continue to win on this journey.
Well, Mark, just know that everyone at the V Foundation is part of the village behind you right now as you continue to go through your treatment. So thank you so much for coming on, and I hope everyone gives you a follow and gives your show a listen and supports everything that you're doing. Best of luck moving forward, and please keep in touch. We'd love to have you back on again at some time.
Yeah, and again, thank you. I know you keep thanking me, but thank you to everyone at the V Foundation, to the scientists, the medical professionals who are putting me in a good situation. Thank you to everyone. I love you guys, and I appreciate everything you've done so far, and I know one day we're going to find a cure.
That's great. Thank you so much, Mark.
You're welcome.
So that's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Mark. Make sure to subscribe to the Voices for Victory podcast wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. And if you can toss us a 5-star review, even better. To learn more about the V Foundation for Cancer Research, visit v.org or follow the foundation on social media at the V Foundation. Until next time.
To me, there are 3 things we all should do every day. We do this every day of our life. You're going to have, what a wonderful, number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number 2 is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number 3 is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.